Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, it's a bit loud, isn't it? welcome, and thank you for coming to the last public meeting of this year. At this meeting, we will be hearing from submitters and applicants on three applications. The first one is 90 Wirumbi Road, Grashmere. Second one is 3 Exeter Street, Camden. And the last one is 2-14 John Street and 11 Elizabeth Street, Camden. My name is Pamela Soon, and I will be chairing the meeting today. The other panel members are Marilyn Taylor, Grant Christmas, both our expert members, and Debbie Dewberry, our community member. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet and pay our respects to their elders past and present. I would also like to extend that respect to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people here today. Declaration of interest. Panel members, do you have any conflicts to disclose?
No conflicts.
The panel does not have any conflicts. I note that each of the panel members has signed a declaration of interest form, and we've lodged these with our council. A couple of housekeeping matters. This meeting is being audio recorded by council and will be placed on council's website. No other recording is permitted unless you've gotten our approval. Can you please put your mobile phone on silent? Each presenter other than the applicant, the owner and their representatives have in total 15 minutes. The presenter, they have 4 minutes. Olivia from council will be monitoring the time. Thank you, Olivia. After each presentation, should any panel members have any questions, we will then ask you our questions. After all the presentations have been done, I will close the meeting, and then the panel will then deliberate on these three matters. Minutes on the panel's decision will be available on council website within 48 hours, so by Monday. As we have quite a few speakers, let's get started. I will try to pronounce your name correctly. Apologies if I get it wrong. And please note that panel has also received a copy of the submissions. So the first item, which is the 90 Wirumbi Road, Grashmere. First speaker will be Jeffrey Chadwin. Jeffrey, would you like to come to the front? Thank you.
At one stage, I contemplated asking for an adjournment of this meeting, but there seemed to be no particular reason. That was because three obstacles that I've detected. The short notice, in my case, by a council letter dated and said to have been mailed on the 4th of December. It was emailed to me on the 7th of December, finally received on the 8th. The envelope was date frank 6th December. I have difficulty in coordinating a meeting with the affected residents at short notice. They invariably require advice and assistance from their family on matters such as this. Many have mobility issues and most have no business experience. To review and understand the content of the business paper to a layperson such as me has not been easy. 190 pages to digest in a matter of a few days. So far as Camden Council is concerned, my criticism is in that delay. But in addition, I still have a letter, 20 of April, unanswered. First indication of woodland at a residence meeting was made on the 20th of September, 2022. There was a brief mention at the residence AGM on the 19th of October, 22. Another brief meeting with selected residents on the 21st of October. the October 2022 Carrington Courier, that's the internal newsletter, had just four sketches only, no accompanying text whatsoever. In the 14 months since then, the word woodland has not appeared in the monthly Carrington Courier. I had a brief on-site meeting with representatives of the landscape architects, and it was confined to one subject only, and that was the effect on my property, or the property I occupy. Over a period of 8 months, from October 2022 to July 2023, I've written 8 letters to the CEO with a written response on only 2 occasions. I note from item 27 on page 41 of the business paper for this meeting, council had tasked Carrington with doing, quote, due diligence in letting its residents know and seeking their views, unquote. That was completely ignored by Carrington management, probably deliberately. It's now up to council to seek Carrington's valid explanation for their failure to comply with that task. It's abundantly clear from what I've said that Carrington's management had absolutely no intention of compliance with that task. Carrington's management is to be condemned over its conduct of this matter over 12 months and its adverse impact on its residents. So I sum it up in one word, appalling. Thank you.
Thank you, Geoffrey. Panel members, Geoffrey, could you...
I'm sorry.
What I didn't get from you is what's your objection to the development? I understand you're concerned with the process, but...
My objection to the development is simply the fact that it is within a matter of metres. Are you familiar with the site?
We went out
there today. Okay. There's a laneway runs up the side of Mary MacKillop and on the first house there. I'm, as I say, a matter of metres.
And what's your concern about that?
Well, where is my privacy?
Anything else?
That's the essential thing.
Thanks.
But I talk, I'm also representing many other residents in that immediate facility, and the same issue is purely and simply privacy.
The second speaker is David Nethercoat.
It's on, all right. Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. Residents in the Carrington Retirement Village became aware of this proposal only indirectly, whether through negligence or a rather cavalier approach. The primary stakeholders were very much kept in the dark and least informed. Further, some had made written submissions, and they were only advised of the panel's hearing by as late as Friday, as we've just heard. It was hoped that there would be more than just Mr. Chadwin to address this panel from the residents. Now, this lack of both of communication and consultation is also reflected in the nature of the proposed changes to their environment. Although outside of the Camden HCA, there are still limits to the kind of constructions permitted in the area. A most pertinent one is on height. The limit for this area is 9.5 metres. A generous enough one would have thought, but this development proposes to overshoot that by a staggering 6 metres, which is up to 15.2 or up as high as 16.2. That is 60 to 70% exceedance. This itself is intrusive, an inconvenience to current occupants, and a limitation on the scenic and notably pleasing ambience of the Carrington campus in general. Now, the convenient conclusion in the SEE states, having regard to all the above, it is our opinion that strict compliance with the height control standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case, as the development meets the objectives of that standard and the zone, as described in the written variation request. Now, this is at best optimistic, a very optimistic opinion. It is based on an all too familiar argument, where variation is sought to fulfil the design requirements. Curiously, it is not the design that should be altered, but the requirements of the legislation. Height is only one factor. The footprint is very large and is admitted that it is larger in size, scale and massing than existing developments at Carrington. However, it is explained that the apartment building's design will utilise the slope in the landscape to reduce the overall height and massing of the development, and the building's footprint will also respect the general topography of the subject site. Well, the mass of the development is exceptional. A four-storey building with 42 modern assisted living apartments. Such an ambition brings into question matters of safety, especially in times of emergency. If there is a fire from the fourth floor to ground, that is a lot of people to move in an emergency, many of whom will have limited mobility. Also, pertinently to the Camden area, when Carrington is cut off due to floods, how will such a group of residents easily and effectively be assisted in their living if staff cannot get through to Carrington or hospital care or other services as needed? All of this points to the request for the design to return not to the drawing board but to the consultation room and to argue the case with current residents. I'm not sure that they will be happy spending their autumnal years next door to a major building site with associated chaos and upheaval necessary for such construction, even if ageing in place will be a desirable outcome. Living in a noisy and chaotic building site does not recommend itself. Thank you.
Thank you, David. David, yep. I'm not sure if you're aware, but I think the number of units now have been reduced to 36 units.
Okay. Is that on the current site? Is that just in the agenda to the LPP? Because the when I read it, it was 42.
Jamie Yerkin for the council. Amended plans were received that have been considered by the panel. Because it was a reduction in units, it did not require re-notification. So it was reduced from 42 to 36, and they're the plans that have been considered by the panel today.
Can I just clarify, is that on the council side or is that on the agenda to the LPP?
It's the plans published on the business paper. They were submitted to council during the assessment, and they're the plans being considered by the LPP today.
So that's what's on the council side?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Panel members, any questions for David? No. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Fletcher Joss.
Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. The application claims the changing nature of aged care requires the constructions of assisted living apartments, leveraging the existing capital investment on their property. This might be desirable, it might not. It seems to bind residents to Carrington as a service provider. It's incompatible with Commonwealth's government support for ageing in the home or the needs-based provision of aged care service. This suggests the target market is wealthy individuals who do not need government support and can afford the services of a monopoly supplier. Regardless, it's not unusual for a business model to change to cause conflict with planning rules. It raises a question whether the new model is compatible with regulations and is appropriate for a site. Eventually, a business will outgrow the permitted use, triggering a relocation or adjustment to the planning instruments. Indicators of issues are conflict, permitted usages, bulk and scale restrictions, and the demand for community resources. At some point, the issues can't be resolved by consideration of development as it relates to the site and its immediate context. And I note that's what the papers in the development application are, only on the site in its immediate context. Other issues must be considered. Perhaps there should be affordable housing for workers employed at the site. Maybe the access roads need improvement. Possibly the resource should be relocated to existing population centres. Is the establishment of a community with a single demographic undesirable? Is the development consistent with a 15-year-old LEP exemption for another style of seniors living? Is the New South Wales government prepared to invest in the support infrastructure? Is the development fair for existing residents and neighbours? The development is not isolated. This year, the DA tracker shows permission to construct a 40-metre telecommunications tower, that is, 40 seniors living apartments and 30 independent living apartments. There is also the planning proposal of 5 Smalls Road and 4 additional stages of this DA. Remember, this site is zoned R5, large residential with a minimum lot size of 4,000 square metres, and all character activities only permitted through prior use exceptions and a special provision on the exemption, a special exemption in the LEP. Recent flooding shows the site was effectively isolated for several days. A shelter-in-place strategy is proposed. How this work will work with resident aged 80 plus, dependent on support workers, and likely to require unexpected transport to hospital is unclear. During the last floods and fires, the constraint was a Camden bypass bridge. That's where the delay was. To fix the congestion, the bridge would have to be made wider. Therefore, I ask you to take all necessary steps to require the applicant to submit a planning proposal encompassing all stages of this development so it can be assessed as a resource thing. Also, there is Clause 84.3C in Division 3 of Part 5 of the State Environmental Planning Policy Housing 2021 that states the building height cannot exceed 11.5 metres for housing for seniors, and that would seem to override any LEP exemption. Further, the rules outlined in Planning Circular PS21-20 detailing the calculation of the capital investment value do not permit the exemptions contained in the applicant's DA estimate document. It omits such things as lifts, expensive items. This suggests the assessment by an independent quantity surveyor is required. If adjusted and uplifted for inflation, the CIV of the project is likely more than $30 million, requiring referral to the regional planning panel. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Neville. Anyone have any questions for Neville?
Fletcher.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Fletcher.
Yes.
Apologies. Any questions for Fletcher?
No.
No. Okay. Sorry, Fletcher. Next speaker is Neville Clissall.
Good afternoon. I'm a 6-year resident of Carrington and loving it. I've lived in Camden for 70 years. I was born here, and I do appreciate how Camden Council have managed the changes in over the last 20 or 30 years by moving most of the development from Camden into Narellan, Gregory Hills and Owen Park. Therefore, I can't understand why the council allows such a tall building within the precincts of Camden itself, a building which is some 60% higher than the rules. I'm not opposed to the building or residential extensions within Carrington. It's just that this one is particularly tall and it's on a fairly high area, so it's very visible. The other buildings that have taken place recently are much, maybe three or four stories high, but are on lower ground and therefore not so significant. So I can't understand why there is a provision for a four-storey building, because certainly there's no shortage of land within Carrington, even taking into account a 1,000-year flood. I'm sure there's lots of land that's spare there. It's not also because retirees are clamouring for high rise. I haven't taken a survey, but I should imagine that retirees are very happy. They've come from a house and they want to go to a house. They're not so keen about going to high rise. And on my way here, I drove around Wivenhoe. I did see a couple of two-storey houses. I can't understand why retirees would go to a two-storey house, but certainly no high-rise. And I presume the same, I don't know about Owen Park and Durham Green. I know that high-rise are becoming popular in Sydney, but that's because workers want to be close to the CBD. I don't know whether we need it in Camden for retirees to be close to the CBD of Camden. I grant you that there is a high-rise in Camden, a high-rise retirement village in Camden, but it's at the foot of John Street and you don't notice it until you're actually on top of it. You have to be right next to it to notice that it's there, and it's on the very low part of Camden, just slightly out of flood reach. The other point I'd like to make is I'm fairly involved in a number of activities in Carrington, and I have only just been made aware of Woodlands via a previous speaker. There's been little notice within Carrington of what's happening, and certainly the DA, when it was displayed, was in a place where it would be very difficult to read. Because there's nowhere to park on the road to get out your car and read it, and it was also very small. So it's been disappointing that the residents have been taken along on the journey about what's happening with Woodlands. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Neville. Any questions, panel members, for Neville?
No, thank you.
I got off lightly.
Thank you. Next speaker for Camden Historical Society, Joe O'Brien.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel today about the proposed Woodland development. I'm speaking here on behalf of Camden Historical Society. We appreciate the changes which have been made since exhibition, which lessen the impact on some of the existing villa residents. However, most of our concerns remain, and there are still unreasonable adverse impacts on existing residents. As you've heard, Carrington residents have not been fully informed about these plans, particularly the exhibition periods, and they have not had much opportunity to provide input into decisions which directly affect their homes, surrounds, privacy and amenity. They were not directly notified by either Council or Carrington of the exhibition period. It is only because of the efforts of others that residents were aware and able to make submissions. It is still a difficult process for anyone, let alone residents with various accessibility issues, to fully assess and comprehend the amount of complicated documentation presented in the time period allocated. We ask that there be a requirement for either Carrington or Council to notify individual residents of any proposals which impact their homes and provide easily accessible documentation. Existing residents would be subject to overlooking, overshadowing, visual impacts, increased noise, increased traffic and parking issues, and loss of amenity. These residents may not be in the public domain, but their homes are impacted. The proposed height of 16.2 metres is excessively over the legislated limit of 9.5 metres, more than 70%. This height is not consistent with the objectives of the standard, which generally limits buildings throughout the zone to two storeys. There is no reason that the development could not be within this height limit. Compliance is not unreasonable or unnecessary. It is not the slope or the ground levels or the basement parking, which caused the contravention. It's the extra stories. A two-storey building with basement parking would be possible. It is not in the public interest to ignore the height standard, and it is not orderly planning to do so. The extra height in the building causes increased overshadowing, overlooking, and visual and privacy impacts. There are community concerns about medical evacuation and access during flood events and bushfires and increased local traffic. The area is within the metropolitan rural area where large-scale development should not be encouraged. This building does not complement the heritage buildings and low-scale surrounds. We believe it would impact on the relationship between the heritage buildings and the Camden Township. It is likely to be clearly visible from the main heritage building. Consideration should be given to the heritage significance of the site as a whole and the cumulative impact of multiple prominent new and modern buildings on the heritage item. Recent developments such as the new Paneling Court and Riverview Apartments represent a shift away from the traditional rural and low-density residences which have characterised Carrington. Those new developments are being used as precedents for this one, which, if approved, will set another precedent for the next DA. These represent a continuous attack on the legislated height limit, one step at a time. Woodland is part of a plan for major renewal of the villa area of the site, and as such, the entire plan should be subject to a planning proposal rather than being assessed building by building. The potential increase in population, larger building heights and density will have significant cumulative effects on the whole area. How many people can safely reside on this site? We ask that you reject this proposal and require this and future development applications to be subject to a site-wide planning proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions for Joe? No. Joe, I think you're the next speaker as well.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you again today with my own thoughts on this proposal. I'm speaking here today for two important reasons. Firstly, I think it is vital that all of the planning rules are followed. Some of these, such as the 9.5 metre height limit, are legislated. Exceptions up to 11.5 metres may be granted for exceptional circumstances. As I've said, this proposal at 16.2 metres far exceeds that. It's not just over, it's 70% over. How is this in any way consistent with the standard? These are non-discretionary, non-subjective standards. It is over height because it's four stories. Why can't it be two stories? And then it would be under 9.5 metres. Breaking of the rule should not be permitted. Each exception granted seems to be used as a precedent for the next one to be higher. And where does it end? It is not in the public interest for some to break the planning rules, which we should all abide by. And I'm also here today to speak for the residents of Camden. As you've heard, they have not really had the opportunity to speak for themselves, except for the two that have been able to come today. The residents of this place should be the foremost consideration in any plans. They have chosen to live there in retirement, probably their final home. They should be consulted about plans that affect their home and the future character of the area they live in. As you've heard, the notification and communication with existing residents has been inadequate. Those people most affected living in their own homes were not officially notified of the public exhibition. The number of submissions is a reflection of the community advising residents, not council, not Carrington. A sign on the secondary gate does not immediately alert anyone to what has been planned. Previous DAs have obviously had very few submissions as residents were unaware that they were going to happen until they were built. Plans are presented to residents as if they are a foregone conclusion, and residents are not encouraged to have any input. There are hundreds and hundreds of pages of online documents to look through and assess for this DA. Little assistance is offered, and it is bewildering. It is hard to know what to do, how to make an effective submission, and if you can make a difference anyway. Many don't bother because they do not think anyone will listen. Others may be reluctant to openly object. But many residents are very concerned about the future direction of Carrington, especially the independent living and assisted living areas. Residents highly value the existing quiet, low-rise, low-density character of their community. Although the service path is said to have been retained in the same place, it is still curving slightly towards the villas. The revised tree removal and landscaping plans do not seem to be in the agenda paper, and a loss of mature trees and landscaping concerns residents also. If this development were to be approved, nearby existing residents would firstly endure the noise and impacts of demolition and construction. The proposed development would then loom large on the prominent site. There would be overshadowing and loss of sunlight for some. The proposed privacy screens are retractable, presumably by those living in the apartments, meaning they would choose when there would be privacy, not the villa residents. There would be a potentially noisy outdoor eating area high above the villas, more cars and traffic and less parking. Some future residents would have apartments with limited sunlight and or cross ventilation. They would be reliant on lifts to evacuate the building in emergencies. An increased number of people are liable to be isolated in times of flooding, such as we did see last year. This is only the beginning of a future major reconstruction plan across the Carrington site. The existing character of Carrington is being changed from low-rise to high-rise, a major shift. It should be considered under a planning proposal. Please refuse this DA. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Any questions for Jill?
Yes. I'm wondering why you think four stories is high-rise. That's not high-rise, wouldn't it?
In the inner city, it's not high-rise, but in the metropolitan rural area, four stories is high-rise in a two-story area.
I see. This is two-storey area, even though there are other four-storey buildings there?
To my knowledge, there are only one or two other three or four-storey buildings. And as I've said, I think if people were aware how big they were going to be, perhaps they would have objected to those earlier as well. But this is an area that's traditionally been low-rise, villas, two-storey at most. That's partly to do with access as well. I know, for example, in Grasmere Terrace, you can enter either from the top storey or the bottom storey and come out at ground level, so you don't need to have a lift. And I know that's important when the lift doesn't work, because people cannot move from their apartments if the lift's not working.
And did you have access to the council assessment report?
The agenda report?
Well, yes.
Yes, I've spent quite some hours looking through it over the last week and a half, and it's online, so I'm able to do that. And that's why I'm often here speaking to you, because I have the time and the capacity to do this on behalf of people that can't.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jo. Next speaker is Glenda Davis.
Thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of Camden Residents Action Group. We find this DA for a four-storey building of assisted living apartments to be disturbing, and submit that it should not be before us today for both equity and planning reasons. On equity grounds, as you've already heard, and we are particularly astounded by the reports from residents of Carrington about the lack of consultation and notification of this DA. Although the amenity of many will be affected by it, including during its long construction. Under the EP&A Act, the proponent should actively seek views that are representative of the affected community before lodging a DA. It is understood in speaking with Council that Carrington Management were tasked with informing and consulting with residents. As you've heard, by all accounts, this did not happen. The council notification map shows that the properties immediately surrounding Carrington were officially notified of this DA, but the residents themselves within Carrington were not. Camden Community Participation Plan commits to accommodating diverse communities and providing alternative means for people with additional needs to provide feedback. This is especially important given the varying levels of incapacity of Carrington residents and their lack of access to internet and email. Those who were informed of the DA by community members and did manage to lodge a submission were advised of this panel hearing by letter, which was dated Monday the 4th of December, but it did not reach them until Friday, at which time they would still have had to somehow arrange access to the agenda report at council offices. Similarly, They find it difficult to attend and speak at this panel meeting, and we only have two residents, but we can assure you there are many more. Although Carrington is their home, they have been kept in the dark. Surely this exclusion of the more vulnerable in our community from information and the means to defend what is important to them is unworthy of us and should not be possible within the planning process. It also seems there is less consideration than society would expect to the health and safety of the future 80-plus-year-old residents in the assisted living apartments. The SEP for seniors housing effectively limits the height of buildings to two storeys, which also limits reliance on lifts. Obviously, there must be a workable plan for evacuation of many with varying mobility from four storeys if there is a fire in an apartment, and we could not find that anywhere. Also, as you've heard, in times of flood, carers will find that Carrington is cut off and access to hospitals and other services is extremely difficult with current road and bridge infrastructure. We could find no plan for how residents will be assured of the living assistance they require. On planning grounds, this DA heralds a major divergence from what is expected in this metropolitan rural area, which is zoned large lot residential. The height variation sought for this building is extreme at 16.2 metres. It is grossly inconsistent with both its location and the SEP seniors housing height limit of 9.5 metres plus 2 metres per plant. The agenda report states the existing residential density and dwelling typology at Carrington is currently undergoing change and being replaced by new, higher and denser forms of seniors living. The DA documentation clearly shows that this DA is only stage one of five stages. We submit that this planned transformation through a series of DAs instead needs to be addressed in a planning proposal to ensure alignment with existing planning strategy. From the community perspective, this one DA is already regionally significant. We also question the capital investment value calculated in January 2003, still being less in December than the $30 million threshold, particularly as some costs have been excluded. We request that the DA be refused because the residents have not been consulted effectively and because it is part of a much larger stage development that rightly requires a planning proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenda. Any questions for Glenda, panel members? Thank you. Next two speakers, Rad Richards and Michael Brown.
Good afternoon, panel. I'm Ryan Richards, Michael Brown, town planner. I'll just preface my presentation about the changing nature of aged care and the changing nature of retirement living. This is not just applicable to Carrington as an aged care retirement living provider. It's applicable to every provider in this region and elsewhere. 2 years ago, we opened the new Riverview assisted living apartments, and that's the way aged care will be heading. People no longer want to go into aged care facilities per se, particularly following the COVID era in the past 3 years, and also the outcome of the reviews and Royal Commission into aged care, which has actually scared a lot of people from going into aged care facilities. So Riverview Apartment was, assisted living apartments, was opened 2 years ago, and that's 41 apartments, and they are 100% full. Only in recent days we had the vacancy, and that's where the industry is going. Carrington has been growing over the past 20 years, and Carrington, like any aged care provider on retirement living, will continue to grow over the next 20 years because of the changing nature of the industry and the changing nature of services. We have attempted to provide those essential services to the community and people that come from far afield. With all due respect to the people that preceded us to talk, I don't know who they are apart from Jeff and Neville. And basically, I would probably refute the fact that we poorly consulted with our residents, because consultation happened on the basis of meetings, and the architect was present there, and the landscape architect who presented the design and what we're planning to submit to Camden Council at the time. Particularly Jeff, in particular. Jeff, we had a meeting with himself and a few other residents, and so that was the first meeting we talked about, where they expressed their views, and we undertake to have a look at whatever design we're going to come up with to entertain their views and how we can accommodate some of those. Subsequent meetings with Jeff did happen, including two in the boardroom and one at his place, which has resulted at the end by planting about 10 or 12 magnolias trees on the side of his house to separate all of between his place and the new proposed building. The fact that our business model, as far as people entering the retirement living, they enter on a lease, long lease basis called deferred management. And basically, under deferred management, let's in round numbers, you pay $300,000 for a unit or a house or a villa. And out of that $300,000, Carrington, after 5 years, 6 years, will keep 30% of that. And when you transition from there into aged care, that money is refunded back to you, the 70% of the 100% principal you have paid under the deferred management fee. So I recall when we Powling Court was to come into being, and the design was, it's a four-story building on one side of the road for that building, five. And basically there were a lot of people objecting to that height and everything. But what happened at the end of that, 3-4 years later, the people that were objecting to that building, unfortunately, they are residents of that building now. Now, the fact that the essential services are available for the community and people that come to live at Carrington, either in the retirement living or in the aged care facility, or indeed in the assisted living apartments, of which Woodland Assisted Living Apartment will hopefully come into being, and Michael will talk about how we accommodated the planning panel recommendations and all of that, accommodated in the design that was resubmitted to Camden Council. So the fact that the place there, and as for the other speakers, I don't know who they are, where they're from, and what's their connection to Carrington, and but hopefully one day we might meet again when either they need the services of Carrington or we just talk socially. So that's in a nutshell what. So Michael will talk about some design issues.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and sorry, Madam Mayor, Madam Chair, and panel members. I'd like to talk about three matters that have arisen. The first is, as Rad mentioned just a while ago, we had a meeting with the planning panel a while back. The planning panel was critical of the proposal itself. We went back and re-looked at that proposal. They were concerned about the closeness of the development to Jeff's house. And so part of that proposal was to keep the laneway as it is now and remove six units off that development. So it went was from 42 to 36 units. Complete change. The building was set back further from Jeff's place to accommodate that issue that was raised by the panel. about their concern about privacy, about the closeness of the building to Jeff's house, and so the changes were made as a result of that. The other issue I'd like to talk about is the compliance with the ADGs. As a result of the meeting we had with the planning panel, I think it's a design review panel to make it clear.
Yeah, yeah.
We changed the plans, as I said, we reduced 6 units out of the proposal, and we are now fully compliant with the ADGs in terms of solar access and cross ventilation. Actually exceeded, and with the new proposal itself. As I said, the numbers have changed from 42 to 36. There are some issues that were raised by why can't this building be put somewhere else on the site. Firstly, there's bushfire aspects of the site, so there's only certain parts of the site we can actually put bushfire, but it's not bushfire prone. We've actually had a bushfire report done for the site to make sure it was compliant. There is some flooding on the site, but that's down towards the lake, I'll use those words. And so to put this building anywhere else on the site is impossible. There is no other place to put this building that we're looking for. As I said to, probably you heard me say something to Raj just then, the paneling court is actually two stories to some extent in the front, but when you go around the back, it's actually five stories high. And there are other buildings on site that are four stories and three stories. So this is not unusual. The other issue is that this site is actually zoned to allow apartments. So I want to make that very clear. This site is zoned for apartments.
The other constraint beside the bushfire issues and flood-prone areas, the site is big, but two-thirds of that site, maybe 80% of it actually, is fully constrained, let alone the Cumberland woodland that we have issues with, that we can't touch and we can't go any further than that. So I think with these three major constraints, the site can only happen now, apart from woodland living apartments, which will be a brand new service to be established on the site, that will be in the next 20 years on that site. If the brand name is to grow, it will be asset renewal of older assets to be replaced by newer assets to suit the needs, the new needs of the aging population that will come to utilise Carrington services. So that's what will happen over the next 20 years in terms of the Carrington brand is a very strong brand, will continue to grow, and these things just will happen gradually. It doesn't happen overnight, and as the planning panel would know, from the day one you start the design of something like woodland living apartment to the day that it is commissioned for use, it's actually five-year period. And that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it doesn't happen overnight. But companies like Carrington and other aged care and retirement living providers, they need to plan for the future. And they need to continue to grow as the ageing population grows. And we live in an ageing population society. And when you look at the numbers, it's just increasing on a daily basis. And we've got, over the next 10 years, we've got the next cohort of retirees to come. And these people need to be accommodated. And retirement living initially, and assisted living, therefore, becoming very popular. I'm happy to take any questions from the panel.
Thank you, Ryan and Michael. Panel members, questions? Marilyn?
Yes, Mr. Rob, we were out there today and we saw what good job has been done in the past. We understand this is a very popular development. I just can't understand why you weren't able to tell the good news in an appropriate way to the people that live right there now, and I just don't think we had an adequate explanation, because I understand that people don't have letterboxes, this doesn't seem to be a way of explaining to them what's happening there and having their concerns dealt with in a way that normally happens in a normal area.
Yeah.
It isn't a retirement building.
We have been able. I probably slightly disagree with the comments made, because as I indicated earlier, we talk about it at residence meeting. So when people say, I haven't heard of Woodland Assisted Living Apartments project before, is untrue, because I do mention it at our residence meeting, and that happens quite regularly during the year, at least 10 times a year we meet, mention it at our annual general meeting, that the people attend the annual general meeting. We talk about it in the newsletter. Somebody mentioned the Courier newsletter, that's the residents' newsletter, we mention it there. And indeed, we've got a development at the moment, probably through your travels inside Carrington, if you had the opportunity to do that. And you saw the new 20 Kent Terraces apartments almost complete, and about 8 or 9 already sold, and we've got people on the wait list, including, I might add, for Woodland Living Apartment, because they haven't had the opportunity to be able to enter Riverview, but they will say in a couple of years' time, I'll be ready to enter Woodland Assisted Living Apartment, because that's where I want to be. And that's to provide people with security and to provide people with comfort and so forth, instead of living alone in their own places, and that's why people choose to come to Carrington. The presentations we made with through our architect and the Jackson Tease Architects, and also Ross Shepherd from Site Image, explaining the landscape, what will happen, and that sort of thing. And as Michael indicated, we complied with the comments made by the design planning panel at the time when we met with them. So all of these things did happen, not as has been presented earlier preceding me and Michael. And I think sometimes people's perceptions are different, because people sometimes choose to hear something and not to hear other things, so which is unfortunate, but that's understandable, and we keep talking about it. So it is a good story, and a lot of people will be coming into Carrington.
So just on that point, can I ask, did you actually notify the residents after you lodged the DA with the council? Because that, in my mind, is the important thing.
Yeah, sure.
The people are advised that there is a development application, they can comment. I mean, that's the public participation process
in
the Act.
Yes and no, because we notify our residents at the end of the day. There is a business decision to be made by the Board of Carrington as how the company will grow. Yes, we do notify our residents. Yes, we do talk about it, whether it's after the submission of the DA, because it goes through, even during the design stage, because it goes through some important processes before a DA is approved. This DA has been in council probably over a year and a half, and we've been talking about it all that time. So at the end of the day, it's people will get informed through the various avenues, like our residence meeting and so forth, and the newsletter, and these things do happen. But do I go and letterbox every house at Carrington? No, I don't.
Do that.
I'm not required to do that, but at the end of the day, also,
you are
it's
required,
good.
I would suggest, to tell everybody in your area.
That's right.
On your site.
Yeah, and it's good to tell people and notify people and that sort of thing. So we talk about it and we put that in the newsletter. So these things do happen.
Couple of questions to Mr. Brown. A couple of people mentioned the clause 4.6 request.
Sorry?
That's from Mr. Brown. A couple of people mentioned the clause 4.6 request. The height limit is 9.5 metres, proposed 16.2. There is a bonus in the housing SEP. Does the bonus apply to this development? And have you, if it does, have you addressed it in the clause 4.6
I've addressed
request?
The issues in the clause 4.6, yes.
The bonus issue?
The bonus issue, yes.
And how have you addressed it?
Well, through the issue of looking at overshadowing, looking at the heritage issues, and a whole raft of matters like that.
So does the request go to both of the standards or just the 9.5 metre non-compliance?
It goes to the 9.5.
All right, we'll have to have a look at that. I just know that there's a decision of the court dealing with that. But anyway, I'll take that on notice. Just one other question. The 36 new units proposed, or assisted living units, how many are being demolished to make way for the 36? What's the net gain, effectively?
There's 8 units being all up being demolished.
Well, that was it. Yeah.
And there are 2-bedroom units, aren't they, right?
So there's a net gain of 28.
Something like that, yes.
Thank you.
It's probably a little bit different because those units are 2-bedders and we're proposing some 1-bedders, so it's a little bit... Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
In general, yes.
But I think we need to remember these 8 units in 4 blocks, 2 per block. They have been vacant for over 12, 13 years because there is no market for them.
We saw that inside today.
Yeah.
Rod, I think you've addressed it, but I had a couple of questions here. What sort of demand do you have for people wanting to come into Carrington?
Yep.
And also, what's your wait list like?
Good question, Deb. Our wait list at the moment probably is about 380 people on the wait list. Now, those people, it used to be about 700 6 years ago. And we needed to cleanse that wait list because a lot of people, as Deb would know, that live in Camden long term and all of that, they all decide to put their name on the wait list for Carrington. So by cleansing the list, we required people to commit themselves to pay $200 deposit to be on the waitlist, and that's how we reduced it from that big number of 700 to something like 380, and we know those 380 are fully committed. Aside from that, you've got people, for example, the people that have bought into Kent Terraces now, 8 have been sold off the plan, and they will be moving from 15th of January onwards. 6 of them have not been on the waitlist because on an offering like this, when it happens, you notify all the waitlists through newsletters, which we do regularly, almost every month. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not ready to come into Carrington in the retirement living or elsewhere and that sort of thing. So then other people, because of social media advertising and promotion and the brand name and so forth, and people come. So 6 of them are completely from outside the waitlist. But the waitlist is there to guarantee people entry. And we honour that.
So if there's 380 people, I mean, that just boggles my mind. I know, being an aged person,
no,
I'm in that area anyway. But of those people, are they local Camden people, or are you getting inquiries from people outside the area because other aged care facilities can't accommodate them?
Sure. Actually, over 70% of those people will be from the local government area, and probably 20 to 30% will be from outside the area, but they wish to live in Camden and live in particular at Carrington. So our service is very much sought after. As a matter of fact, our aged care facilities, we have four, a total of almost 390 beds, and we currently, two facilities at 100%, no vacancy, and the other two facilities, they only have one or two vacancies. People are waiting in hospital. When the social worker offers them to go to an aged care facility, they'll say, I'll wait for a room at Carrington. And that's how the demand is.
Quick question about consultation. I know you've answered the questions and you've provided a bit of a background in terms of what, how you consulted with the residents. I guess we've heard from Jeff, and he said that, you know, in terms of any, the Carrington Courier, you had four sketches in it. So could you just, again, provide more information in terms of how you actually engaged with the residents and gave them information, or what type of information did you give them?
Generally, the residents in the retirement living part of Carrington are engaged through their regular monthly meetings. They are engaged, as I said, through that courier newsletter and any other communication as required about various things, whether it's being activities, being changes to the bus route or the bus service that takes them shopping into Camden and the MacArthur Shopping Centre at Campbelltown. So these are ad hoc communication that goes regularly from our retirement living coordinator. It happens on a regular basis, for example, a few days ago there was an issue with tons